Welcome to my ministry mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to myministrymission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you and welcome. My name is Jason and I'm your host. I have been blessed with some amazing guests. Truly, I feel like God is sending people my way that the listeners just need to hear from. Today, my special guest is Monica Hansen from the Graceful Warrior podcast. Like many of my guests, Monica has faced darkness and turned towards the light to bring her message, her ministry to those who need to hear it. Monica was a sergeant in the Army, knows the pain and torment of returning with many of our soldiers. And after running from Jesus for most of her life, she turned to face him and let our Savior unburden her heart and her soul. And now, through her podcast, she helps others understand the importance of the full armor of God. Monica also wrote a book called Captured by His Heart, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Check out her website at thegracefulwarrior.com, where you can learn about her book, listen to her podcast, and I've thrown some links in the show notes for her social media, her books, her podcast. Everything is in there, so go check that out. So let's meet this amazing woman, this veteran, and this spiritual warrior. So welcome, Monica. Thank you for joining us and give me the gift of your time today.
Oh, hello, Jason. Thank you for having me. Hello to my ministry mission audience.
Right on. So I've listened to some of your podcasts and it's very good. You're a lot of fun to listen to.
Thanks.
One thing I noticed you like to do is ask icebreaker questions. So
yes.
If it's okay, I have one for you.
Okay, let's go. Shoot.
If you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would you choose and why?
Oh my gosh. That's a great question. I am a Looney Tunes fan.
Oh, me
and
too.
And I absolutely have always loved Bugs Bunny because it's just his wit, his sarcasm when he deals with Donald Duck. I mean, that guy can put Donald Duck's, you know, bill on his head so many different ways. Has that man so confused? I'm like, I crack up, and it's so crazy, Jason. I still have the collection. I've ordered all the DVDs so I could watch them because nowadays it's like they've changed it to all of the junior characters, or they change it so much. And but I love the Looney Tunes. That's a good one. I got to use it. I'm stealing it.
Yeah, take it. That's so funny because when I was thinking about this, I had two in mind. Uh-huh. And Bugs Bunny was definitely on the top of my list. The other one was Yosemite Sam.
Yes.
He cracks me up. I would love to hang out with him.
Yeah, you know what, too, is I absolutely still love the Muppets.
Oh,
the Henson's Muppets. Oh, man. Yeah.
We have a lot to talk about because I force my daughter to watch Muppet stuff with me.
Oh, I love it. I mean, you still see the GIF, you know, when you're trying to use on online stuff and they do, what is it? Manum.
Yes.
You still see it today. And you're just like, I love that one. I was like, now I have that song in my head all day.
I truly feel like we have a lot in common. I mean, besides this, but we both came to Christ later in life.
There
we both seek to share our experience and our mission through our podcast. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you have truly an amazing story after talking with you before. And let's get started with your favorite Bible verses. And I know it's super hard to find or to pick one.
Oh, I know. But
you shared two with me, Isaiah 43, 1 through 3, and James 3, verses 1 through 12. I think it was 1 through 12 about the taming of the tongue.
Right.
And would love to I'll let the listeners go look those up, but what is it about those two that really jumped out at you?
You know, just with looking at my background, I know we're going to get into of just being in the military and stuff like that. Isaiah that verse, how it talks about that he is with us no matter what. And it clearly tells us that when we go through those troubled waters, you know, those troubled waters in life, that as believers, he doesn't say, you know what, as you are here on this earth, I'm with you and everything's peaches and cream. He doesn't right. say that, you know. He says that when you do go through the troubles, I'll be with you. And it's so much that he goes on to say that when you go through the fire, now that's some testing and trial moments, because we know that of all the things that we have been going through in life and all of that, that there just feels like, oh my gosh, I cannot see over the water. I'm like just overtaken by the drama that I'm in, the mess I'm in, everything. The Lord goes on to say, it will not burn you. It will not even consume you, you know? And, but we have to have a part in that and look up and say, Lord, I need you. And he's right there, you know, before we even get the thought out of our mouth, you know, he's right there.
Yeah.
And so that verse just really impacted me. And I discovered that verse once I got saved. I was watching the Chosen series. And that's awesome. That's when Jonathan Rumi had said it to, you know, Mary when she had ran out of the bar, you know, and she was using that to help keep herself grounded, you know, with all of the trauma that she went through throughout her life when her dad passed in the series, you know. But I looked that verse up and I was like, wow, okay. And I started looking back at my life and I was like, you really have been there with me through all of this. And then James 3, it talks about the taming of the tongue. And for me, it was really impactful to me because being a veteran, I had a mouth like a sailor. you know, all of us vets do. And I know the world does. And but for me, it really came to a point of, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, I told the Lord, I told the Lord, I don't want this to be superficial. I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. And every time that I tried to do it on my own, I would never see the changes in my heart. And everything still seemed to be the same. I still cussed like a sailor. It wasn't true. And so the taming of the tongue and James, how he talks about all of that, it is a world of evil. And the word of God also says that we'll know them by their fruits. Yeah. If what comes out of our mouth doesn't align with what comes out of the word of God, then that should be something that we can gear our decision on, going, okay, wait a minute, is this someone that is a Christian or is this someone living on the fence of being playing Christian hot and cold? You know, and it's also been for me to go on, Lord, I know that I need to tame my tongue and I know that I can't do it on my own. I have to ask for your help in this. And when I do that, I found that as I grew in my Christian life, that I was like, wait a minute here. When's the last time that I've cussed? You know, and then you see how the Lord changes you.
Absolutely.
And you see, even in our gossip, even in our bickering, you know, even in how we view things, you know, sure, we can, when we go through drama and stuff like that, we could be like, oh man, the world just like collided and just smashed me into a wall and I don't know what to do. We go through all of that. But even taming the tongue says, no, but I have a God that is greater than anything that I will ever face. And it's speaking that instead of going, oh, great. Life just ended. There's nothing we could do. We're done for, you know?
Right.
So it really is. It's applicable in every conversation that we have in taming our tongue.
It's amazing. There's a lot of wisdom that comes out of James. I think one of my favorites is James 1:19, the, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak,
yes.
And slow to become angry.
Man, that is the one that just, that gets people.
That was the first one I memorized. That was the first verse I memorized.
So. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Yes. That one is just, it's so weird that you bring that one up because I am in a home group Bible study and we're studying James. And when we did James 1, everybody was like, here we go, you know, right? And consider it all joy. And we're like, how can we see joy in our drama right now, right, in our 4 years that we just went through? You know, how do we go through all that? And it is, it's just, so it's cool that you just brought that verse up.
It's great. So you are a vet, you're in Desert Storm, and you probably get this a lot, but I genuinely want to thank you for your service, for your sacrifice. Nobody goes into the military, nobody goes overseas, nobody serves without some sacrifice.
Right.
So, you know, right.
Thank you.
You said something interesting to me before in our pre-interview call. You said that after high school, you joined the military and you basically told God, you stay here, I don't need you. And then you went off to war.
Yes.
What brought that mindset? What brought that to be?
So I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents were very, very strict. My stepfather was Navy. His parents were Navy. They were officers in the Navy. And he was the oldest to babysit all the brothers. So under his house rules, when he came in, it was very strict. I mean, so much so that we did our chores and he would literally come through and wipe the top of the TV and go, nope, need to do it some more.
Wow.
And so that strictness came into our Christianity. And so when we had to go to church, we had to go to church. We had to wear dresses. We had to sit with our parents. We couldn't sit with the youth group, our friends and youth group, you know. And so it was very, very, very strict. And it became, that's your God. And you keep telling me about this God of love, but I'm not seeing it when I can't even live freely as a teenager. Yes, with a set of rules that we live by. Yes, I get that part. Even as a teen, I understood that. But the way I was raised was so strict. It was crazy. And so I looked at my parents when we would go to church, and they were literally, my stepfather would literally lean in during worship service. And he would say, if you don't raise your hands in worship service, we're going to deal with this when we get home.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, you know, of course, I'm like, yeah, praise the Lord. You know, right. Don't want the belt, you know. And so when it came time to graduate school and I was off going to go in the military, and I told God, you know what? I don't want nothing to do with you, because all of my life I have been told God is love. God loves you. And I'm like, really? If that's what love is, I don't want anything to do with it. And so I literally told God, thinking that I got this all straightened out. And I said, God, you stay here with my parents because you're the God of love. I'm going to go off and go play soldier. I don't need you. And I mean, of course, I was young and dumb and, you know, joined the military. And yeah, that's how that comment came about.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of Ephesians, what is it? Six, you know, don't provoke your children. Fathers, yes. Don't provoke your children.
Yes.
Seems like we Great forget time. Some of those lessons.
Yeah. It is. And it's so weird you bring that up, is because in all honesty, Jason, I've never actually known what that verse meant until now.
Oh, wow.
It was like, well, that's what that verse means, you know, because he did, you know, and it just brought everything full circle of, that's why my father keeps coming to me now. We've made amends now. And he keeps coming to me and he's like, Monty, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry the way I was, you know, and I'm like, Dad, let it go. Let it go.
Yeah.
You know, and so just the impact of what you said just made everything come full circle and go, bam, that was the answer.
Great. I'm glad I could help.
Right. Well, thank you, Dr. Jason.
Right. Is there anything else important we need to know about Monica, about your upbringing or your history?
You know, so my background, I mean, we came up from a very harsh background. You know, my parents had their rules. We did grow up in church. You know, I did want a hunger for the Lord, but I just didn't know how to really get it. And I saw it through my parents and I was like, no, I seen it through, like, we went to all different types of churches because it's like every time my parents raised us to where every time it got crowded in a community, oh, we're leaving.
Oh, really?
And, oh, my gosh. I think I went to every high school in our town, and it was crazy. Wow. And so I could like, oh, yeah, I know you guys from such a high school. Oh, yeah, I know you guys from such high school. And so we moved all around. But as much as I hate it, it ended up helping me in the military because I adapted to where we moved every 3 years. I would change duty stations every 2 to 3 years. So it actually benefited me. And I mean, to this day, I don't know about your girls in the audience, but I am like the type of woman that I will set my living room. And about 2 years, I'm like, you know, I'm sick and tired of the way this looks.
Right.
And I would change my entire living room. And so all the guys in the house would be like, okay, where do we sit now? And so, I mean, that's just a little snippet of Monica. I change my living room every couple of years.
That's fantastic. I'll do that every once in a while, like maybe every 5 years. I'll get
five years.
It's usually my bedroom. I got to shuffle things in my bedroom.
Yes. That's weird. Yes. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's wonderful. I think you had mentioned in our pre-interview call that you you had seen, I think, a pastor online that related to Jesus in a way that you had never seen before, like a friend, yes. like a buddy, yes. like, you know. You know, I don't know if that's significant to mention or.
Yes, big time. I mean, that is basically how I got saved. When I joined the military, I had literally, like I said, I just ran. I was out there partying. I was sitting there drinking with my soldiers. I mean, we did it all in the barracks. We had, you know, every bottle of liquor up there and we just drank. And there was weekends where we would just, everybody would grab their favorite drink and we would all dump it into big ice chest. We used to call it jungle juice.
Jungle juice. Yep.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I don't know if they changed it. I don't know what it's called nowadays, you know? And so, we would do that and just get tore up from the floor up. And, we would barbecue. We would have, we would go get half a hog over in the German economy and just tear it up. And so throughout my life, when I got out of the military and I married, had two boys, I was still like, we were partying still. We'd have barbecues, block parties. We're still doing all of that junk. And, you know, the world, what it has to offer is only fun for a season. We know that. And, right. and it came to where I ended up getting a divorce, found out he cheated on me, and then ended up going, you know what? I'm never marrying again. Fast forward, I remarried. Yeah, of course, right? So now you know why they say never, right?
Right.
And so I got to a point where I was literally tired of my lifestyle. And as hard as that is to believe when people will actually get to a point where they are tired of just life, like in that aspect. And it used to go so far as I would call my mom and never say hello because I didn't, when I left, I closed the door on the relationship, you know, because of God. And I would literally call my mom and wouldn't say hello. And she would pick up the phone, hello. And if I knew that she answered the phone, I knew I didn't miss the rapture.
Yeah.
Right.
I get
it. And so I got to a point to where I was like, man, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being afraid of missing the rapture because I know what I have learned in church. And that's pretty scary. And I was in my office one day and I came across this this pastor, and he was very prophetic too. And at first I thought, wow, okay. I know that there's a lot of false prophecy out there. And I didn't know what to think of all of that. But man, when he started teaching about Jesus and his worship time. He was a piano player, keyboard player, and everything. Oh. And man, he would just get to jamming on the keyboards and his band and everything. And I had learned that music was the thing to calm my PTSD. And so when he played, man, I would just tone down. And wow. I was drawn. He spoke about Jesus in a way that I never heard before. He spoke about him in a reverence and a fear, but a love and an admiration and a best friend type of way, all into one. And I was like, man, I was drawn to that. And I was like, how can he do that? How can he just talk to the Lord? Like, that's his buddy, but yet he's like down on his knees crying before the Lord. You hear it in his heart. And he talked about how Jesus loves you so much. And we hear that in churches. You hear it on the radio. You hear it in podcasts. You hear it everywhere. But the way he expressed Jesus, I was like, now that's real. And I was like, how do I get that? Yeah. And so I was drawn to him for, geez, probably about a month. And it was so weird. It's like, my husband is an atheist. And so my kids would fight me in going to church because now they're teenagers. So I was the only one, and I would go into my office about midnight when the whole house would go to bed so I wouldn't get ridiculed of what I was watching.
Yeah.
And I would start watching, and man, I would sit there 2 o'clock in the next, you know, in the morning, watching the next one, you know, and just tears streaming down going, man, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. My lifestyle, you know, I'm tired of running. And next thing you know, this guy played a song, and it is kind of like Amazing Grace, but he did his own twist on it. Okay. And his chorus on there, it says, if I forget your mercy seat, then let my hands forget their skill, because he played the keyboards, piano, everything.
Oh, okay.
Let my heart forget to beat, and let my tongue be silent, cold, and still, if I forget your mercy seat. And so and that's just the chorus, but he goes on to all of the verses, and he's talking about what God has done for us by dying on the cross. Now, I've known that story. I've heard it every Easter, the risen story. You hear it from churches, you know, all of that.
Yep.
And but the song and his teaching for a month just impacted me. And I said, you know what? I am done with my life. And I took that sack, you know, that yoke. I took that and I threw it down. And I was like, you've got to take this. I can't do this anymore. And I dropped to my knees in my office, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, Lord, I give it all to you. And the song that he is singing right now, this is my promise to you that I will never forget your mercy seat. Because I look back at what I know, Jason, that I should not be here. Of the 3 deployments under my belt, I should be dead. And I've been in situations where it's our truck, one of our situations, our truck flipped over and none of us in the vehicle had died. Now we have some physical injuries. Some of the guys, you know, we had 1 or 2 guys that, I mean, just so broke up that they ended up having to get shipped back out. Oof. And now in wheelchairs, you know, and some of everybody else, we had minor injuries. You know, but you're just like, I should be dead. I should not have been able to walk out of that with a vehicle tumbling.
That's wild.
And so, yeah. And so you're just like, now I can look back and I go, you are a God of love. You are a God of mercy. I cannot forget your mercy seat because I know I should be dead. And a lot of your audience, they know, we know our past. We know what we've done in the past, the recklessness or the partying or the drugs or situations we've been in. And if we can look back at that and remember his mercy seat, and it's still present today, we still have that time today. And so I have always told the Lord, even today, I say, I won't forget your mercy seat. You know, I will not forget it. And those times where I start getting going, Lord, where are you? It feels like you're so far away right now that I got to go, wait a minute. You saved me from this war. You helped me in this. I struggled with this, but you were there, you know? And then here comes Isaiah, my favorite verse.
Right.
You know? And so that's how I look at life now. That's what it means. I'll never forget your mercy seat.
That's amazing. What a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you. Thank you.
But let's shift gears because I want to talk about your podcast.
All right.
It's called The Graceful Warrior. You describe it as the only podcast that reveals the application of the armor of God in each episode for the listener who seeks to understand its significance and application in their daily lives. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, man. So I absolutely have a ball in my podcast. First, let me go back to a little bit. When I first started this podcast, I sat there and I'm looking on my screen and all I saw was it blinking. Right? And I'm sitting there going, Lord, do you really want me to do a podcast? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? Right? And as the Lord began to tug on my heart, I started changing within, getting into the word and all of that. And I was fresh Christian when I first started this. And some of my friends had known me from my old life to that transitioning period where I was kind of like, what's this all about? And then they see me as like, praise the Lord, let's go. Yeah. You know, all of our new, you know, that new transition. And they would always say, Monica, what's happened to you? You're changed. Even my Christian friends. And I was like, oh, I'm in the word. I read this today that the Lord says this and da, 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 and I'm applying it. And I was like, are you in the word? No, I'm too busy, man. I got to get up at 6 a.m. I got to do this, do that, do this. And so I started doing a podcast and it was called The Busy Believer.
Okay.
And so that's where that came from. So then as I grew closer to the Lord in my walk and going through trials and all of that, and I just felt this tug in my heart that it was time to change the podcast name. And I was like, well, Lord, what am I going to say now? What are we going to do? You know, I was wigging out. And why wig out? I don't know. And so then I was like, well, what are we going to call this? What are we going to do? And he said, Graceful Warrior. And I was like, wait a minute. Lord, where's the grace and the warrior? Because I know warrior from going to war. I know warrior from my brothers that are up front in the battle. You know, I know warriors from movies we see, gladiators and all right. That. I know warrior. That's messy. Where's the grace in that? And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, warrior.
Oh, he slapped you with a scripture.
Right. And I went, whoo, okay, let me step back. Oh, you know, and I said, done deal. Change the Busy Believer to the Graceful Warrior. And I go, now what do we talk about? You know, that's the next question. And then I had a guest email me when we changed over to the Graceful Warrior. And she was like, hey, I've been listening to you since Busy Believer. I said, oh, okay, thanks. And she was like, you changed it to the Graceful Warrior. I said, yes, we're in the transitioning period, everything. And she goes, will you do a study? I know about the armor of God, but I forget what the importance of each piece. Will you do a study on that? I said, no problem. Gotcha. And as I started digging into it, I took 1 week to study the helmet of salvation, and it just went down the line. And a lot of people think that it's 6 pieces of the armor. It's actually 7. And it's prayer. The last yep. thing that God talks about, you know. And so I started looking around. I was like, wow, there's tons of Christian amazing podcasts, you know, like My Ministry Mission There's a lot of great podcasts out there.
Thanks for that plug.
Right. And I was like, but how many people are solely dedicated to just one thing in the Bible, such as bringing the application, the significance of the armor into the episodes? And you would hear people would do different, you know, just random episodes. Let's talk about it today and next week, cheeseburgers, you know, or whatever.
That's what I did, except for mine would be tacos.
Tacos, there you go. I'm with you. And so now what I do is I have guests come on the show, just like you, and they share their trials, their triumphs, you know, all of their different stories that they go through. And then we try to find, how does the armor of God apply to that story, that situation? And so that's what we do now. And we've just automatically, my team and I were engaging in a whole bunch of change now. And so what we're doing, we used to release Monday through Friday. And it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, episodes every day.
Tough.
Yeah, that is. And so what we're doing now is changing gears. We're slowing it up a little bit just because of doctor's orders. I got to slow down. And so what we're doing is Mondays and Wednesdays, we're still having guests come on to share all of their stories. And we actually call it coming to the warrior's table, where we can lay down our swords, our Bibles, and sit down and talk about the things that we're going through or what we've come through. And then on Fridays, I'm sitting down with just the audience, just the audience and me, and we are going to talk about the blurred lines of Christianity. And because it gets so blurred, you don't know left from right when you hear people say, oh, I'm a Christian, and then they're turning around and cussing up a storm or at the bar, or, you know, whatever. And so we want to go, you know what, let's push the sand away and let's find the line again and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and be a difference and be the light to what America needs. So that's what we're about. And we have a great time.
That's great. That's great.
I love it.
So I'm thinking like graceful warrior is, you know, spiritual warrior donned in the full armor of God.
There you go.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yes. And we're doing with that. We're actually getting ready. We're getting a lot of people that we are pre-interviewing to even talk about spiritual warfare, what it is, what it isn't, how do we battle, how do we know we're out of it and everything. So we've got a lot coming up.
Yep, that's great. Now, I mentioned you and I have something in common. We both came to Christ later in life.
Yes.
You grew up in the faith. I really didn't. But we both kind of turned our face towards Christ in our 40s. Mm-hmm. Soon after I accepted Christ, I was baptized several months later, began feeling God's calling towards ministry.
Okay.
And I didn't know what that meant. So I set out on a mission to find my place in ministry. And that's where this podcast came from. It's my ministry mission.
There you go. That's awesome.
But when you and I spoke, you mentioned right after you came to Christ, you started to get downloads. And
yes,
that inspired me. That you said that led to your book. I love that story so much. I'm hoping you'll tell it again for the listeners.
Sure. So when I gave my life to Christ that night in the room, I figured that that's all that would happen. Okay, now I get up and I go to church. I find all these Bible studies and engage there and, you know, do all of the things that I'm supposed to do as a new believer in Christ. But that's not all that happened. And about a week after I got saved, I started getting what I know now, I didn't know back then, were downloads. And I would hear these words of poetry and love deep down in my heart. And I was like, is there anybody here? What? You know? And I'm like, what in the world is this? And being a brand new Christian, I didn't know. And so I was like, man, they just keep coming. So I would grab pen and paper. And I would start writing, and I would write and write, write. And sometimes it would come so fast, and I would literally answer that voice. And I would say, wait, stop. And I would go and write, and I'd say, okay, start again. Or I would say, I didn't catch that part. And the words would come again. And I would write, and it would happen to me either in the shower, cooking, sitting there watching TV, sitting there on a computer, just out of the blue, midnight, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. I remember standing in my kitchen and I was reading my mail. And next thing you know, one hit, and I was like, and I grabbed my envelope of my mail and I went, AT&T, you'll get your bill later. Flip. And I started writing. I started writing what I heard. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I would throw them in my desk. And that was over the course of 5 years. And I was like, I have no idea what these mean. I don't have no idea what I'm supposed to do with all this. I would pull them out every now and then and I would read them and just start bawling. Because as I read them, I was like, oh man, I remember back in 1989, I was asking you this question as a non-believer. And here's the answer right here. I remember asking him what my purpose in life was. I remember asking him, why did you die for me when I have spit in the sand every time that you reached out your hand? And that's actually in the book now. And I remember all of these questions that I was asking over time, and you have begun to answer all of this, but I don't know what to do with it. And so just this past beginning of spring 2024, I felt the tapping of the Lord on my shoulder, and he was like, you know, it's time to release those poems into a book. I was like, nope, stop the press. Whoop, stop. And I was like, I don't know the first thing about publishing a book. I don't know if I'm going to get screwed over by an editor, a publisher, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not rich. I don't have $1 million to pay an editor to get a book going. I don't know any of that. And he was like, but are you going to trust me? Are you going to obey me? Yeah, okay, but let's talk about this for a second. Yeah, and I told the Lord, I said, fine, because I kept getting that tap on my shoulder. And so I said, all right, you know what? Lord, if we're going to do this, then I have some rules here. Like the Lord's going to listen to my rules. But in this case, he actually did. And it's what is making it more amazing. So I sat there and I said, Lord, if this is from you, if these poems are from you, and if you want me to publish this book, these are my rules. When I submit this to the editor, wherever that is, whoever that is, I don't want anybody to touch these poems. Because if they're from you, they're supposed to be perfect, right? And I said, this is the only thing I will allow is maybe I have a comma that shouldn't be there. Maybe I should have put one after, you know, the apostrophe S. And I said, so all of the punctuation marks, that's the only thing I'm going to allow. If this is really from you, basically I was laying out my fleece like Gideon did.
There you go. Yep.
And I said, then I will know that you are in this. And I didn't tell anybody. This was like, this is why I love in our prayer times to continue to talk with the Lord and bring those requests before him and keep it between you two, because it's amazing when the Lord answers and how he answers, because he makes it so personal.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, and you know, as well as myself being podcasters, you have many guests that come on and they want to push their content out there, and rightly so.
Yeah. No.
And so I had authors and business people come on and people pushing their book and everything. And I never felt led to say, well, you know, I'm trying to get a book out there. I never said anything. And I was like, it's just not right. It's not right yet. It's not right. And then I had this guest that came on and she shared an amazing testimony. And we got done recording. We're in the background. We're talking it over. And so she starts mentioning about her working on her next book. And all of a sudden it just came out of my mouth without even me like putting the brakes on. It was like it was the Lord saying, yep, let's get it out. And I said, you know, I'm really needing help on a book. And I was like, wait a minute, what did I just say? Oh my gosh, right? And she goes, really? She goes, what kind of help are you needing? And so I began to tell her where I was.
All of it?
All of it? Yeah. I have the writing, but that's about it, you know? And so I told her. And she goes, Monica, this is so weird. She goes, I hope I'm not freaking you out. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, I think I have a story to tell
you. Like, we're so far past that.
Right? And so I was like, okay, tell me your story. And she goes, I have been praying for the past month because I really felt like the Lord was telling me, I want you to be a writer's coach. I want you to help others to get their book out. And I'm sitting there going, you're kidding me. And she goes, why? And she goes, I hope I didn't scare you. I said, no, I started crying, right? You know, and I said, I got to tell you something. And she's like, okay. And I told her, this is what I said. This is what the Lord had shared with me. And she was like, oh my gosh. Okay. So how do I help you? Where are you at? And I still did not tell her my stipulation on the Lord. And she ends up hooking me up with a Christian editor. And I get with that editor and she initially says, these are my initial fees, thousands of dollars and everything. And I was like, okay, I tell her what I have. And she's like, okay, can I take a look at your rough draft? And I said, sure. Hey, I got to let go of the baby, right?
Right.
And so I sent over the documents to her. And probably about a month later, she comes back to me and I'm like really nervous. She comes back and she goes, Monica, can I call you instead of doing this over email? I said, sure, here's my phone number. And she calls me up and she goes, okay, I have to be really upfront with you first. And I'm like, okay, this is going to come back bad. They're terrible. They're not even like editable or something, you know, right? And she goes, so I originally quoted you X amount of dollars for this particular job that I normally do. I said, okay. And she goes, in fairness and with the help of the Lord, I can't do that. And she was going to charge me like thousands, like it was $4,000 or $5,000.
Oh, wow.
To do this. She comes back and she said, so between me and the Lord, we're only going to charge you $750. And I said, what? And then she goes, on top of that, she goes, Monica, I cannot even touch these poems. And she says, when I was reading them, if I change one word, because I was reading it going, okay, if she was to put this word here, it'd be much more impactful. She goes, but I would change what you're saying and the impact of what you're telling in this entire poem. She goes, so I can't even do that. She goes, but what I can do is go through the entire manuscript. And she goes, you do have some punctuation errors. And she's like, and so I want to try to fix those and then help you with the rest of putting this book together. And I was like, oh my gosh, I started crying on the phone. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Did I say something wrong? And I said, no, no. And I was like, Karen, I got to tell you something, you know, and I told her and she was like, oh my goodness. She's like, so we have to get started on this ASAP. The Lord wants this out then. This is definitely him. And she goes, do you have a cover for it? And I said, yes, in my head.
Yeah, right.
Because Jason, the Lord gave the title, the cover, and all of the poems in there. The only thing I had to write that is actually Monica's writing is my about me, you know, my short little testimony in the beginning of the book, you know, and it's the shorter version of what you guys got about my testimony. And so I put that in there and that, oh my gosh, she was like, nope, no, you know, redlining everything.
Right.
And so I knew, I was like, okay, I know these poems did not come from me. And because I sat down and I tried, I actually was like, okay, the wind blows today. Yeah, that's all I got.
You know? Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I knew that they were from the Lord. And so that all came about. He gave the cover and everything. I had to go to my best friend and I was like, okay, I know that you have some computer skills. I have this image in my head. This is what the book cover is supposed to look like. And he was like, all right, tell me. So I began to tell him and he goes, oh, I got it. I was like, seriously? And he's like, yeah, I'll have it to you tomorrow. And he came back with a picture of what is now the cover of the book. And I said, it's perfect. And I said, the only thing I want you to do is when I gave my life to the Lord, I had in my head of a broken heart and I pushed that heart up to his hand. And I said, you take my broken heart and mend it back together. And he said, done deal. And so he got a heart and he put it, it's a glass heart broken into pieces on the cover of the book. And I'm lifting it up to him and saying, take my heart and fix it.
That's great.
And he captured my heart throughout that book and healed all of the wounds in my heart, all of the questions that I've ever had, which could have been like all the basic questions that a non-believer would have, or as a brand new Christian of going, okay, what's my purpose now? You know? And so that book completely just answers all those basic questions.
It's captured by his heart, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to make sure I get a link in the show notes. So if you're intrigued, I know I am. It's in my, it's in my parking lot in Amazon. So
right. Me too. I have that too.
I'll get it there. I've got so many that I want to read in so little time, but
yes.
Yeah, it's definitely, it sounds like it's definitely worth it. Wish I could have already read it, but I will be buying it for sure. So I encourage everyone else to.
Yes. It's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's also on Google Play.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting ready also to put it on Apple Play too. So the team is working on all of that. So
it's amazing you have a team. I have me.
You know, we have to talk because I could offer you my team. We would have to talk. I have to talk to you about it also.
Right on.
But it's been amazing. And the Lord's got me working on a second book. And it's not a poetry book. And real quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I began to hear this title, and it was The Undaunted Pursuit of Christ. And I was like,
wow,
what does that mean? But this time I recognized it was the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, what does this mean? I don't even know what undaunted means. And let me go to Jason, see if he could explain that one.
Explain.
Explain. And so I wrote it down. And I was like, okay, so maybe I haven't pursued him enough. And then I would start crying and be like, I'm sorry, Lord, I'm not pursuing you the way I should, you know. And I started just being a woe is me, Monica warrior. And then I was on another podcast and we were talking about this second book and what it could possibly mean and everything. And all of a sudden, boom, it hit right in the middle of the podcast. And I heard the Lord said, no, The Undaunted Pursuit of Christ is a story about how I pursued you.
Oh, okay.
And I went, no way. And I said, okay, okay. And I don't remember what I was talking about on that podcast. But all I remember saying is, okay, hold up. I have to say this right now because this is what I'm hearing in my heart. And she goes, okay, okay, share. And I said, this is what the book is going to be about. And she was like, oh my gosh. She goes, you know how deep that is? And I was like, big time. What is the undaunted pursuit of Christ of Jason? What was that pursuit of your audience? How did God pursue you?
Yeah.
And it's something that we oftentimes sit there and go, I was in a state of rebellion, you know, and for X amount of years and that's how we look at it all the time. And then I came to Christ and we tell that testimony. But what was the pursuit of Christ on you, that undaunted pursuit? That means that bold, fearless pursuit of you. And I ended up looking that one up. And so
I like it.
And so it is Christ's pursuit of us. And so I'm thinking that this book is going to come out probably in either late 2025 or early 2026. And so I have just been waiting for the Lord to help me get through each chapter in writing. And because a lot of it is really stirring up a lot within me and looking back at things. And I'm like, okay, I can't read this page. We got to rewrite it, you know? So stuff. That one is coming.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Monica, this has been a wonderful conversation. You have such a great energy. Like, you're so much fun to talk to.
Thanks.
But I'm going to wrap up the episode here. Do you have any final words, last message for the listeners?
You know, I just want to say thank you, listeners, audience of my ministry mission. Thank you for allowing me to share my story. And remember always to grab your sword. It's a battlefield out there.
That's amazing. Yeah, the sword is the only offensive part of the armor.
It is.
So, but and thank you, listeners, for being here. Special thanks to Monica for joining us. If you've enjoyed this conversation, you can get more of her at thegracefulwarrior.com. I'm going to be listening. It's already in my list. Be sure to check out the show notes for her website, social media, books. Everything is in there. So go click on everything. So while you're there, check out the links to my ministry mission, my website, my social media. Come follow me. Would love to have a conversation online. Just a reminder, I do have a new Discord server. We're trying to build up that community. So be sure to check that out. It's myministrymission.com/go/Discord. Also in the show notes, so go click on that. Until next time, be sure to read your Bibles, be sure to love each other, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. So God bless everyone, and God bless you, Monica.
God bless.
You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.